listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
Oh, my brother, do you know the Savior, who is wondrous, kind, and true? He's the rock of your salvation. There's honey in the rock for you. Oh, there's honey in the rock, my brother. There's honey in the rock for you. Leave your sins for the blood to cover. There's honey in the rock for you. David, after he cried out in the horrible pit, said, He took me out of the pit and placed my feet upon a rock and put a new song in my mouth, even praise to our God. Christ alone is that rock. He who is God, he who is man, he who is the Creator, is the Savior of sinners. Listen to the second stanza. Have you tasted that the Lord is gracious? Do you walk in the way that's new? Have you drunk from the living fountain? There's honey in the rock for you. Oh, there's honey in the rock, my brother. There's honey in the rock for you. Leave your sins for the blood to cover. There's honey in the rock for you.
Yeah.
Reading once more from John chapter 3, the last part of the words of the Lord Jesus to Nicodemus. It began with his message of the new birth. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God or enter the kingdom of God. Then we have those blessed words of the gospel, that well-known verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And then the last part of that message to Nicodemus, which is not nearly as well known, we read in verse 17, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God." Let's pray that we'll have the right understanding of these words. We know there is such a great difference in the church on how these words are understood, the new birth, the gospel, and as well this last part, which we might state is a call to repentance. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ. We come giving thanks for these words. We come giving thanks for what they describe, the new birth, thy love in giving Christ. We give thanks also for describing us in our sin, that light is come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light, because our deeds, their deeds, which are ours, are evil. We pray, Father, that new birth might take place in each one of our lives, in multitudes, that we will then come to the light, that we will say as Paul, "Who art thou, Lord, and what wilt thou have me to do?" Again, we think of those words of David the psalmist, "Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power." We pray for thy power to accompany the gospel today, wherever it is heard, wherever it is known, wherever it is remembered, wherever it is read. We pray that many might remember it from their childhood, that have gone astray, have forgotten it, tried to forget it. But we know that it can be brought back to their remembrance, even as the women did not know thy resurrection, Lord Jesus, but then were reminded and remembered that thou didst speak of that resurrection long before, and they remembered thy words. We pray that today many might be brought to remember the words of the past, and many might be made to hear them today and to read them today, that many might take the Holy Scriptures and read them in their homes, wherever they are, that there might be a beginning of a new life in thee and in Christ, all by the power of thy Spirit. We pray, Father, for these great blessings, first of all, these needed blessings in the church and in the world, to both Jew and Gentile. We pray them, Father, for all of us. Thou hast said, thou hast told us, thou dost so love the world. And we pray that the world might soon hear and fear and turn unto thee, all the ends of the earth. Then, Father, we would also think of the blessings given in nature. And we would think of those who are suffering under the ravage of nature, those that have suffered under the hurricane, the floods, the drought, the wind. All of this, Father, in different places, in our land, our nation, and other nations, we pray that in the midst of these judgments thou wilt remember mercy, and especially that these might be chastenings that will bring forth the peaceable fruits of righteousness, that many might be made to think of the brevity of life and the certainty of death, and to think of thy kingdom rather than just the kingdom of this earth and the things of today and that will be gone tomorrow. We pray, Father, for thy blessing on those in sickness and injury, those in sorrow, those in troubled homes, those in older age, the widowers, the widows. We pray for homes especially, Father, that are troubled, that the children in those homes might be taught by thy word and be brought to thee in spite of their sad circumstance. We pray for our leaders. We pray for the leaders of other nations, that peace might come through the gospel in every nation through Christ. Amen. As we continue in these words of Christ spoken to Nicodemus one night, we have the well-known words, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Even the more well-known words, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life, loved the world of sinners. As I said before in other messages, people differ on what is meant by the world. Some want to make sure that this isn't the whole world, it's only the world of the elect. But some of them who have made sure of that even have admitted that they did not preach from this scripture. Never preached it because they couldn't understand it. Thought it was too much the freeness of the gospel. Thought it was too much of what we sometimes call Arminianism or free willism. And though they might misuse this verse, it is from the perfect teacher. The perfect teacher. The word of God which is sure. The word of the living God is spoken here, declaring that his Father sent him, the Son, into the world. He gave him that whosoever believeth in him, trusting in him and him alone, will not perish, but have everlasting life. When he gave the type of his death through what Moses lifting up the serpent, he said, those that believed in him would not perish, but have eternal life. Both meaning basically the same. The word eternal used in verse 15, the word everlasting used in verse 16. Both life, life, life forevermore, beginning in this time, in Christ, and never ending. Never having it without Christ. We are told, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's where God begins with all of us, under condemnation. Condemnation because we broke God's law, because we loved darkness rather than to love God who is light. To love our neighbor when God, who is light, commands us to do so. Men loved darkness rather than light. The darkness of lies rather than the light of truth. And God, who is truth, who is light, who is life. And that alone. No prophet could say that. Prophets that declare the name of Christ can point to one, another one than themselves, who is life, who is light, who is truth, who is the way, but it is not in ourselves. No preacher can say, I'm the way. A preacher should have learned the way back to God through Christ, and otherwise he cannot preach, otherwise he's still blind. Love darkness rather than light. And Christ gives some very solemn words for those who are blind. If the blind lead the blind, they will both fall into the ditch. Some think that God can use the blind. Christ gives strong warning. And we better not meddle with it. We better not say otherwise. Or we may be in that number who are blind to the Word of God, to the whole counsel of God, that which we are not to take any words away from. or to add any words to His Holy Scripture. And when one does not want to preach from this, I have it in print, where a man confessed it later, that he ever preached from John 3:16. Never understood that message of the gospel, how it was to be thought of, how it was to be received, how it was to be preached to others. And I think we have to have the fear that if a person is there, a preacher is there, he may never have been preached to himself for the saving of the soul. That's God's way of saving sinners. Yes, it is by the new birth. It is by hearing and believing the gospel. It is by the call to believe these things here as Christ said them, in a way of instructing us so that we might repent, so we might come to a knowledge of our sin before and against God. But listen to what Paul writes to the church at Corinth. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. There are those who have trouble with those words, God so loved the world, and they have a trouble when preaching the gospel to every creature as Christ commanded. They do not want to give that message some duty faith, duty repentance, but God commands both. He commands that all men repent. This is His commandment, that ye believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. God's commands. That doesn't mean that we did that when it was commanded us without the Spirit. It was only by the Spirit that we did it. Sometimes when we talk of such things, people say, well, is man a puppet? No, man is not a puppet. Man is a rebel. You are a rebel until you're born again. I was a rebel until I was born again. That's why we have to be born again. It's not only that we can't see. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. But why not? Because we love darkness rather than light. When a man loves the darkness and looks at the darkness, he doesn't want to see the kingdom of God. He doesn't want to see the light. He doesn't want to look at the light. He doesn't want to have the light come to him. Christ said, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds be reproved. That's often missing, especially in the place where it should be preached, in the church, amongst the descendants of Abraham. Both groups are in danger of going about to establish their own righteousness. We are born in a sheltered way. We are born in a Christian home. And as those of Abraham said, we are Abraham's seed. We weren't in bondage. They told Christ that. Read it in John chapter 8. I was told when you become a Christian in the church, it may come so slow you don't notice it because you aren't a sinner like those in the world. No, we aren't a sinner like those in the world. We have washed the outside of the cup. But we got a worse sin. The sin of pride. Often the sin of jealousy. The sin of bitterness. The sin of covetousness. Paul, who was very religious, said, I had not known sin except the law, and said, thou shalt not covet. Sin revived and I died. How many preachers are there that are guilty of coveting? Go into the ministry because they covet. I had a young man going to seminary. He told me he did not believe in heaven or hell, as I did. I said, why are you going into the ministry? It's a good job. He coveted the good job. He coveted a way to make a living that he thought would probably be easier than other ways, not believing the Bible. Wicked. When I asked him if he was going to preach that from the pulpit, he said no. Got his education. He would preach what he was educated to preach. get his marks, graduate from the seminary, which he did, went into the ministry, not believing his own words, not believing the Word of God. Blind leaders of the blind. No hope for them through such a minister. No hope through them and the command to preach the gospel of Christ. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. The religious, Christ is the stumbling block. The learned, it's foolishness. But to those that believe, to know that they're perishing sinners, as Christ said, in believing we shall not perish. We believe because we are perishing. And then in believing, we are no longer perishing. But before we can believe to the saving of our soul, we will have to know that we, you and I, and everyone else, is a perishing sinner. No one will believe it without the Holy Spirit. No one will believe it unless God sends the Holy Spirit to them. And when he comes, he will reprove the world of sin. The Lord Jesus said, of sin, because they believe not on me. That will be basically his first work. To know the sin of unbelief. The sin of not believing Christ. The sin of not believing God. The sin of not believing the Bible in its story of creation. In its giving of his holy law. In its giving the gospel. All of that is to be believed. All of that is to be believed that it will bring us both, as Paul said to the Ephesians, recorded in Acts chapter 20, repentance toward God, submitting to God's word, submitting to what he says of himself as a holy God, as a God who has wrath toward sinners. As Paul said to the Ephesians, children of wrath even as others. Until they were quickened together with Christ. But we must believe that we are under the wrath of God, and justly so. You, if you are not in Christ, are under the wrath of God. Listen to what the last verse of this third chapter of John states. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Once more, those words also used in the 16th verse. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Abideth now and forever if you don't believe on the Son. It makes no difference who you are. No difference whatsoever. God says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This gospel is given to perishing sinners so they will not perish, but rather be saved from perishing. Do you know that? You might say, oh, we know the gospel. We believe the gospel. We've always believed it. Have you believed it ever as a lost sinner? Christ said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He didn't come to save the found. He didn't come to save those that were born in righteousness. He wouldn't find any. Many who think so, but not in truth. Not in reality. Not in God's righteousness, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own. They have not submitted to God's righteousness, Christ, being the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. First, it will be the believing we're lost. I can remember starting before God, if I'm lost. I wasn't saved by, if I'm lost. First God had to show me I was lost. Even though I prayed, if I'm lost, save me. First, there was repentance. Knowing I was lost and why. I was lost because I sinned against God. I was lost because I sinned against my neighbor. I was lost because I was proud instead of loving. Self-righteous. And the same is true of all of us. All have sinned. Are we better than they? In no wise. We have together become unprofitable. Together. Religious and worldly. In the church, out of the church. In the home also. Where husbands think they're right, wives are wrong. Wives think they're right, husbands are wrong. Both can be wrong. Both can be right. And we see it in the church. And we see divorces take place. It may sound strange, but literally with the blessing of the church. Being told they're right. Being told by ministers, being told by Christian counselors, your marriage is over, you might as well move on. And not only get a divorce, but the permission is given to remarry as well. When Christ gave strong warning, what God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. The church shouldn't teach it. The court shouldn't allow it. People shouldn't want it. It shows they love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And before, we're going to see healing in the homes, we're going to have to see healing in the church. Oneness in the church. Not like the apostles arguing who was the greatest. We have a lot of argument like that today. A lot of Laodiceans. You say you are rich and in need of nothing, knowing not that thou art wretched and miserable and naked and blind, poor. All of that. All of that is included in what Christ said. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Just one hope. Christ's answer. The new birth. And the gospel. The new birth given by the Spirit of God. The gospel, Christ dying for our sin according to the Scripture. And rising again according to the Scripture. Oh, believe the Scriptures. The Scriptures of Christ. And you will not perish. Listen to these words of Christ. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship. Praise the Lord.